I'd like to think that what I did, Mr. Tape Machine, is what many veritable drinkers I have known, have done before they begin a drinking session. They will pop a little bit on the ground and they'll say, "That is for the brothers and sister drinkers and lovers and people who cannot be here tonight." It's an old tradition.
Yeah.
But I think it traces through many cultures and many centuries. You pop, and also you do it for the gods.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta like pop a little for the gods into the earth.
I just do a little exploration now. The thing of this meeting is to live long and prosper, something like that.
Yeah. To be alive is to be happy.
To be alive is to be happy.
That's from Woody Allen.
All that was a takeoff for the decoy. So, and then at the end of this,
Mark, shall we raise Jim another level peremptorily?
Yes.
Yes, Jim, you are raised a level.
Oh, thank you.
For that solo. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, raise the level by your followers and your colleagues. And your...
Thank you very much, Jim. I lost another pit somewhere, but that's all right. I've been out of the brew. Oh, okay. Anyway, that song right there is something that actually I was working on. It's basically just a
D chord.
And then it's the C, the G, and then I just do all sorts of little variations and themes on the fun comics.
Thank you. better.
That's better.
That was better.
Oh, a little more energy into it.
Well, first thing to read, Jerry's thing.
Okay.
And this is very much in the spirit of where Jerry is tonight.
This is where Jerry's at.
Yeah. Yeah.
The spirit of him, if he were here, he could manifest briefly from Stop and Shop and be here for 5 minutes.
Maybe he'll quit.
This is what it'll be like.
Maybe he'll quit tonight and he'll show up.
I hope. I don't want to see him. Quitting is bad. I mean, it's just fucked.
Yeah.
Bad aura. I say bad karma, but I don't believe in karma. Anyway, carry on. Please do.
The Stop and Shop Rap by Effin' Part Timer.
By Effin' Part Timer.
When you want some food, we're in the mood. Got an attitude of gratitude. We just want to be kind. Let us know what you can't find, so your trip won't be soured. We all have been empowered. Let us do you a favor. Just use your scan saver. Pack your groceries in the sack, hoping that you come back. Don't be a sap. You'll like my rap. Just give it time. You'll love my rhyme. I hope my song is a hit. And don't you know this program's it?
That's pretty bizarre. That's
cool. Wow. Here, let's do it.
I like that.
We got to have a replay.
By Effin' Part Timer.
I'm going to do the second verse, which sounds exactly like the first verse. When you want some food, we are in the mood. Got an attitude of gratitude. We just want to be kind. Let us know what you cannot find, so your trip won't be soured. We all have been empowered. Let us do you a favor. Just use your scan saver. Pack your groceries in the sack, hoping that you will come on back. Don't be a sap. You'll like my rap. Just give it some time. You'll love my rhyme. I hope my song is a hit. And don't you know this program shit?
That was the club remix.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Stop and Shop had a big bad time. And it ate all the meat in the meat department.
And a big dog fucked it.
And Jerry Dillon got laid off.
Hi, Jim. Brief, very brief prefatory. I recently saw a movie called My Vie en Rose. I've seen it many times. 7 times in the theater, and Jim Boonstra got me a bootleg videotape. Well, yeah, kind of bootleg. And this is the best movie I've seen in a long time, if ever. This is an essay about it. And it's entitled Ma Vie est Ma Vie.
Which means?
My Life is My Life.
My Life is My Life.
On the night before I went to see Ma Vie en Rose, I had a bit of an anxious evening. Just starting a week's vacation, I was somewhat tired, but also slightly worked up and hungry. At 11 o'clock, not too much was open, with the exception of fast food drive-thrus and an all-night diner. On most nights, I'd usually choose to go to the fast food route, Taco Bell usually. But that night was not such a night. I needed a bit of space to sit down and spread out some stuff as I waited for my food. When I went in, I was directed to a booth, but was asked to sit at a table instead. The booth was just too cramped, and also too close to some late teen and 20-somethings carrying on a conversation. I sat down, but unfortunately the group was not out of earshot. The conversation was dominated by one word, not even one of the more common words such as a, and, the, butter, and, or. No, the word which dominated this conversation was God. But it was not God used in the context of serious theological discussion. Rather, it was God uttered almost as a nervous, repetitive tick, as though the failure to say God in any given 5 words would cause the Almighty to rain frogs down upon their booth. A telling moment occurred when one of the guys mentioned something about basketball practice going well. His female companion's reply, "So, how's God been in your life?" His reply, "God's good. God's been really good to me." These people couldn't even talk about basketball for a minute without a theological context. And so it continued, on and on, until one of the girls almost got it. She talked of a time of dryness. No matter what she did, she felt empty. This continued for about 3 months until she went to church to have some people prophesy on her. Presto changeo, she's back in Oakley-Dokley land with the Lord once more. Random God happy chat again ensues. The uses of emptiness. In the middle of Mavien Rose, 7-year-old Ludovic Faber doesn't want to see a psychologist anymore.
Oh, Ludovic. That's where you got that name.
Yeah.
The name of Ludovic.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah. My mother gave me a stuffed animal in the hospital.
Named Ludovic?
I named it Ludovic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I can't understand. We have Ludovic. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, let me start again. In the middle of my and Rose, 7-year-old Ludovic Faber doesn't want to see a psychologist anymore. The psychologist has concluded this might be a good time to end their weekly therapy sessions and tries explaining to Ludovic's mother, Hannah, that Ludovic's emptiness might be necessary for him to work out the issues of his identity. Of course, Hannah, who sends Ludovic to be cured, wants to hear none of this. She storms out, but not before blasting the doctor's half-assed theories. In the midst of sorting out the scarred remnants of our lives, two things are essential, time and silence. St. John of the Cross said that the spiritual seeker would go looking after consolations during times of dryness in order to avoid facing what the dryness has to teach. Time and silence. Ludovic was allowed neither. The girl in the diner would not allow it for herself. Chanson at dance. Ludovic arrives in town at the beginning of the movie with his mother, Father Pierre, Sister Zoe, and brothers Tom and Jean. With a new job in a new town, Hannah and Pierre decide to have a housewarming party is in order. Everyone comes, Pierre's new boss, his wife, and all their neighbors. The party gets off to a rousing start, and Pierre decides to introduce his family. When he introduces his daughter Zoe, a beautiful young girl descends the stairs, roses in her hair, a smile on her face, which broadens as the neighbors applaud, until Hannah and Pierre see not Zoe, but Ludovic wearing his sister's princess dress, lipstick, Hannah's earrings, and a garland of hair flowers. Pierre turns around and nervously explains that Ludovic is the son who is full of jokes. In French, the word farce is used for joke, a more evocative word that is also more hurtful to Ludovic. As the Fabers are about to find out, Ludovic may fantasize, but neither farces nor jokes play a part in his world. Ludovic comes out, cleaned up, boys' clothes on, just in time to do some dancing, with his mother, Grandmother Elizabeth, played with flamboyant soulfulness by Helen Vincent, as well as all the other girls. Samson. At the moment when mother and grandmother hold Ludovic between them, he is swimming in, exulting in, ensconced by femininity as surely as he was when he was wearing the princess dress. But then Ludovic is always there, dress or no dress. His spirit is primordially female. He doesn't have an anima, he is anima. What lets him get away with this, of course, is his long hair. It makes him look more real in a dress, more herself in a dress than Ludovic could possibly look in anything else. And he has a 7-year-old stubbornness when it comes to getting it cut. For in it lies Ludovic's femininity, his defining quality. In Ludovic, Samson is Delilah, Eve, Shirley Temple, Dorothy, and Alice. Wonderland. Of course, any child in Ludo's position has to have an active fantasy life, and his centers around Pam and Ben, the French counterparts of Barbie and Ken. He has the dolls, the dollhouse, and watches the TV show faithfully. He dances whenever the Pam and Ben theme song comes on. When he visits Elizabeth, she doesn't know what to do at first when she sees Ludo dancing and singing, but she doesn't freak out, she joins in. The song is a frequent oral talisman in the film. Ludo dances it frequently, but is more significant when one of the adults in Ludo's life is dancing. At that moment, the person dancing tends to be the protector of Ludo's psyche. His grandmother is the first to dance. Later, his mother dances with him until she notices Ludo wearing girl's shorts under an untucked shirt. And later, his father, newly unemployed, dances to the song as he puts out cereal bowls in his new, unaccustomed role as house husband. Ludovic and the Tao. The softest thing in the world overcomes the hardest thing in the world. Nowhere can the can the soft not enter the hard? The Tao Te Ching, section 43. At some point, perhaps in the unwritten story before the movie began, Ludovic realized something. He might not have put it in Eastern religious terms, but he did realize that he is a conduit for female energy. In another section of the Tao, it says that we're conduits, not physical realities, for the energy of the universe to pass through, and we become enlightened when we come to this realization. Ludo reaches his lowest moment after a soccer match, most likely played to please his father. The other attempters, other players viciously beat him, and he goes home attempting suicide by locking himself in a freezer. At no time is he so cut off from the woman in his life, or from any opportunity to be a conduit for the feminine. He is running entirely contrary to his Tao. Ludovic's mother and father are in a worse state. Just as individuals have their own way, so do relationships. They're tangentially together at the outset, but they utterly lose their way, not regaining it until the last minute of the film. Ludovic is a bit luckier in that he knows his way. He is a girl. But Ludovic has quite literally become between them from the day of his birth. Because they are so dense, they cannot see Ludo as a point of commonality rather than contention. Elizabeth can serve as protector and friend for Ludo, but it is not she who he cries out for in the midst of a nightmare. His way may be of a girl boy waiting for God to return his missing ex, but his way is also of a child who needs mare and pair. What happens to Ludo, his mother and father, is that the universe gently corrects its course. When Pierre gets a new job, the farmers must move. Ludo avoids the noisiness of his new home by sitting on a bench, staring at a world of PM billboard until a rock hits him, shot from a slingshot of Chris, a chunky, roguish, freckled kid. Chris wants to play with Ludo, but Ludo refuses to go back and they go back and forth until Chris's mom calls, and Ludo realizes that Chris is Christine. Chris takes an immediate liking to Ludo despite his unsociability, and she invites him to her birthday party. When the party starts, Chris is wearing a blue satin dress and she looks miserable, heavy boots and jeans poking from beneath the dress. Ludo isn't looking too much happier in his musketeer costume. When they meet in the bushes, Christine suggests they change outfits. Ludo's face brightens, but then says he can't. Well, Chris won't stand for that, not on her birthday. She gets a few guys together and forces Ludo to switch. Chris goes back to blow out the candles on her cake. She already got her wish. Then Christine's mother asks the question, "Where's your dress?" Hannah knows. She winds up nearly killing Ludo, realizes her mistake, and then runs after him. She sees Ludo's favorite billboard with a ladder on it. She climbs the ladder and for a few moments enters the world of Pam. Pam is rescuing Ludo from his mother's insanity. Only then does she realize this, that Ludo is as much a point of commonality for her and Pierre as are Zoe, Tom, and John. At one point, when the psychologist asked them if they had wanted a boy or girl, Pierre tries to circumvent the question by saying that they thought of any child as a gift from God. Not until now do he and Hannah really believe it. And perhaps they really got what they wanted. Perhaps God did drop an X, and they got a daughter of a different sort. Fille au garçon. As I reflect upon the girl in the diner, confronting but not unwilling to live with her time of spiritual dryness, not really confronting it though, merely replacing it with mindless happy chat, I think of Ludovic. I think of myself. I think of all those who pick up the double-edged sword of self-denial. One sense of that term is quite positive, clearing the extraneous so that we may be of spiritual service to others, thereby bringing a selfless love to a world in desperate need of it. But then there is a side which cuts away the soul, the very conduit for the essence of the universe. The soul is God's own art. I come to believe that dualism that separates the world from the spirit, body from soul, and it regards the former as an evil to be resisted. This may be the most pernicious theological concept ever developed. God is in the masculine, the feminine, the body, the blood, the soul, the ether. We don't need to seek the Tao or God's will, whatever we wish to call it. It is already quite within us. In a sense, that's why I don't think that cloning is such a big deal. No matter how the genes stack up, there is an immutable fact at work. The soul is God's wild card, and God always gets to play his hand. In the most famous hypothetical, what if we were to clone one Michael Jordan? Perhaps he'd grow up to be a famous basketball player, but it could be just as likely that he'd dig ditches, write symphonies or novels, or be a girl boy. I believe that in the future will bear me out. The wild card is always in the deck, boys and girls. Don't play if you can't handle that. Our individualities are functions of time, genes, soul, space, and circumstance. Cloning only deals with one dimension in the five-dimensional universe, and not the most important one at that. Ergo sum. The ossification of the soul begins with the acceptance of conjectures as immutable facts. I am sitting in Borders, books and music right now, witnessing fluidity. Grill in the diner, wherever you may be. If the flux and flow of God's universe should carry you through dryness again, do not resist this time. You may be carried to a soul that contradicts what you think right now. Do not resist. She is you. Ludovic, creature is spirit as much as celluloid. Thank you for reminding me of my own flux, flow, and tau. Soul, from this day forward, resist no longer. Flow.
Yeah.
I loaded a fresh tape into the machine.
And we are now up to the prelude.
Musical prelude
to my story. My story is entitled Boxes Redux, Immutable Phalanx, A New Fiction. And it begins, ladies and gentlemen, with a musical inauguration by Mr. James Burke III. That's where. Okay, now Jim's gonna play his prelude. Let it fly, Jim. This is a fucking kicker. Let it fly. Jim, great, man. Jim, that was great. You just told the story. I hardly need to read it.
No.
You told the entire story. I don't know how you did that, but you played right into my soul. You just played into my soul, Jim.
I'm glad you liked it.
I loved it. Okay, my friends, my gathered friends, I want to tell you, before I read the printed page, art is life,
Life is love. Love is art. Art is God. God is life. Life is love. Love is God. You are God. I am God. You are love. I am life. You are life. We are life. We are here. We are now. That's all we get. Make the best of it. Boxes Redux. Immutable Phalanx. A new fiction. Sponsored in Plainville, Connecticut by Schlitz Malt Beverage. Schlitz, the beer that made Milwaukee famous. Yes, no matter the moment, no matter the view, no matter the joy, no matter the woe, yes, evil, there it is, red poisons in twilight jungles, black wings rising over gray and dimming spaces, the kind of cold that does not romance, does not mellow. TV news, year in review, houses carried by floods past grim multiple murder scenes through towns with watchtowers, each window a sad sniper's last home, place of final exclamations. Yes. Her skin softer than any other's, her smile sky vast, scripture wild, looking at me from across a continent, a decade, an insurmountable dump of words and disappointments. Blue eyes, down, or were they green? A friend at a bar, at my heart's all-night bar, drinking on my dime, glasses of wine, cheap Dago red, now dancing to the lights on the jukebox. Mr. Jones and me, we're gonna be big stars. Please listen to me, no matter my past or punctuation. I know you, pretty soul, and I know that smile of your snowy fields of sugar. You are a yes, you are an I, believe you are an I, believe you are approaching me even now. I believe you'll be here soon, impossible, like brown hills of sunlight, necessary like God dripping from every tree, everywhere. Soon, if I just collect my tears and wait, yes, they'll be... You'll just be perhaps visible this time, a someone well-contrived, well-invented. A someone, yes, watching me and waiting, a smile, a curl, ticking. Where to go, forward, and how to get there, forward. But how about yesterday? You are here now. What about yesterday land, yes, what about it, and where to go, and how to get there? Here and now, ragged pilgrim, here and now. A lit joint, warm and dry on a bowl of night, chilly, wet. The usual chess players with their grim expressions and their silly humor. The usual college girls with their bright mouths. Emotions run dawn to darkness in a dot. Symbol and fact, interpretation and act. Blood hot until music. Flesh's passing moment of best. First hope. The workers who serve and come and go. And their owners who compile, calculate, and keep. Cracked Mozart on the broken loudspeaker. Signs that proudly lie. Discover the secret of our new sandwiches. Yes, fine, caffeine, clothes, seas of gossip and debate for the price of a cup. Tick, tick, tick. What? How to get from here to there? How to recall the illusion that there is a here and there? Tick, tick. Discover the secret of our new sandwiches. Discover the soft glow behind the ordinary truth, behind the soft glow that is her eloquent face. A she, one of several, many. Pick one. Perhaps I have my favorite. Perhaps she has long brown hair, black turtleneck and checked slacks. Perhaps my eyes have spied for me, line and curve through a glass wall between us. Perhaps I remain unreasonable, in carefully spying on an arched back, small hands, the dead air of talk with her girlfriend. Perhaps I have imagined a place I would like to rustle in beneath her held breasts, a soft place near breathing, a vertical drop against which I rest, several small drops of desire, tickling, reminding. The secret of writing to the absolute moment place, revealed now, is that art cannot be contrived any other way. Time and place are twin dictators, joined obscurely to human state, telling this useless to the egoed sprawl of souls blinking earnestly at screens of light. Gonna make it right now, typed last night, gonna make it right now, gonna move and add and subtract and make it right now, now. Our new sandwiches. See the bent man buy one with a coffee. See the squat man buy one with a pickle. See the little lover share one with baby talk and crotch caresses. Our new sandwiches to fill your hands when love demurs. To fill your mouth when you fear to talk. To fill your stomach when your heart complains. Sharing a cell with the confessing night. Learning the coded embeds in wine and in wind and light. loving what I see for its solidness and its absence. No one can prove that the world does exist. No one can prove that it doesn't. Soon there'll be a walk along Blooming Baby Street, a heart spill to the trees and spirits, grass and sky of Bell Rock Cemetery, a bed, a book, a TV, a private shuddering remembrance of tight-checked slacks, dreams in Zombie Town of matters ne'er still. Accepting, as best one can, how far has been traveled from one's original intention, from the place of one's beginnings, origin of empire, origin of soul, how far. Carrying the trinkets any far-flinging pilgrim would possess, and eventually discarding some older ones for some newer ones. Discovering colonies along the way that believe they are carrying out an original intent, and yet others that hold that they are the original seat, that entering their environs is returning home. How the wind keeps blowing, keeps scattering. How tonight's snow falls with neither name nor intent, an act that pronounces the fullness of its identity only upon ceasing. And this all inside a box, this sickness inside this pursuit, inside this box. Legs like clouds atop mountains like eyes. It never begins. It never ends. And the souls weary of all this, the good, decent souls in the streets of Boston and Hartford and Seattle and Macon, in Columbia and Chicago, Paris, Tokyo, Saigon, Persia, Atlantis, Manoa, Eden, Wonderland and Purgatory, fried stiff and black by questions, doubts, and the late evening's writhing need for an answering body of flesh, a freely given revelation, satisfying, sweet, pure but able, God is full moon over warm ocean, allowing, defining, infinite yet knowable, here and now. Yes, indeed. Instructions on how to pray, where to masturbate, who to love, when to die. Tell me what good tonight's snowstorm brings. Instruct me how to fly without wings or hallucinogens. Allow me to become the gentle hands I lay upon my lover, to move beneath flesh, within blood, through breathing, into the vibration each heartbeat generates. And damn much more. I want to see with the universe's eyes. I want to swathe cosmic consciousness about such of my tears. I want to grow branches and stripes and revolve around supernovas. I want the gorgeous moments of my past back now, to ride soft currents through, to reinvent, and thus carry me elsewhere into a coulda, woulda, shoulda, a new dice throw this time, a new box, a different pursuit, a changed sickness. I want heaven to don leather pants and go down on me again and again, until I learn and keep this truth, how the music of this moment is infinite, the every freedom of here and now, the blunt smiling truth of tonight's snowfall, every symbol falling is a simple, uncontainable flake, every hill is a testament. No need to say I'm God, or you are God, or there is God, or God is all there is. No need to write or say anything, no need even to write about freedom or necessity. For at the farthest end of consciousness there isn't anything really. One is an omni-existent drop in a non-existent ocean, or what have you. Where stories do not exist, where identities have long ago fallen, piled, melted away. Returning from there, in a sense, to the story, to its desire to be here and be unique, to its writer's need to continue for a while approaching the cosmos without stars, the God without cosmos, approaching without arriving, without staying. Seeking the moment when I can become an empty pen that fills as I write, that renews blank sheets from their inked bondage, that writes the greatest, best, last, only story this world is to give, over and over again until every bookshelf in the world is crowded with blank, revealing pages by the millions.